Hello and welcome to this edition of Rush Hour. I'm your host, Harold Lee Rush. Today I have the pleasure of talking with a gentleman who is actually a pioneer sales executive in Chicago radio. His name is Ken Stansiel, and if you've ever listened to the radio, I'm quite sure you will enjoy what this gentleman has to share with us about how the whole market of radio works. And sales, which is where the money is, was Ken's major deal. Ken?
Tell me a little bit about how you started in sales and radio.
Yeah, well, it's basically it's sales and marketing.
Okay.
You have to do a lot of marketing. You don't just sales. When you say marketing, that's promotions and all that type of stuff, you know. I was in sales out of, you know, when I got out of school, I was in sort of sales. I started out in baby food, Gerber baby food, and then I left there and went to Seagram's Distillery. So I had some sales background, you know, and when the FCC told all this media that they had to start hiring blacks and women, they started looking, and there was one guy in the marketplace in Chicago. I think it was with WIND at the time, and he was black, you know. He was the only black on the street at that time in general market radio.
Okay.
And, of course, radio was a thing there, not TV, but radio, okay?
Okay.
So everybody started chasing him because he had experience in the business. So he turned me on to an interview, and I had a couple interviews with a couple of stations, and then I had an interview with CBS with radio and TV, so because I was the black at the time, so I had it with radio and TV because they both had to hire somebody, okay? So the guy told me in radio when I had to interview with TV first, and then I had it last with WBBM News Station, 78, News 78.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went out there, the guy, he told me, he was very honest. He said, you don't want to go to TV because that's going to be a revolving door. You come up here, I'll teach you the business, and you can make a little money, and that's the way it'll be.
Wow.
So he sold me on it because he was honest. They were jerking around on TV because all they wanted to do was, the FCC told me to hire somebody. They weren't even honest. So I went with BBM News Radio, and that's where it started. That was in 1970. I got the interview in 69 and started working there in 70. So I stayed there, I don't know, a couple of years. And then they had some management changes, so they didn't need me. So that's where it started. So I got experience in general market radio, in black radio, and in Hispanic radio.
Mm.
So and then I got some later years. I went in a couple of TV stations. One regular TV station, channel 66 at the time, or 60 or whatever it was, and Hispanic TV. So I was in Hispanic market twice in radio and TV.
Oh,
so that's the background. So at one time it was like three of us on the street in Chicago in general market.
Okay.
Radio and TV, you know.
What did you find this to be true? Something that I heard this in the 80s, but I don't know if it was true back then, that there were some businesses that would not buy radio that they perceived as being black radio because they didn't want too many black customers coming in their businesses.
Oh, of course. That was part of that was a thing. That was one of the problems. I experienced it, of course. I didn't experience that when I was with CBS.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to, what was it, for my, when I came, well, I started, my first black radio station was VON, not GCI, it was VON.
Okay.
And, of course, then it was still AM was the big thing before FM came in. Of course, that was the case, and that was part of my job, to try and sell these major agencies on the money that was in, that were missing out on in those communities. And that same thing happened in Hispanic market, you know, to these major agencies. Because I had a sales background, you know, I wasn't calling on the barbecue joints and the chicken shack and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was calling on the major agencies.
Okay.
So, you know, the Leo Burnetts of the world, right, that type of thing. And, so I was trying to sell them on the idea how much money they were missing out in these marketplaces, you know, black market and the Hispanic markets.
And you think of any majors that listened to you and became good clients?
Oh, yeah. It first happened, I think, because it was depending on the type of accounts you were handling. It first happened to me in the beer business. You know?
Oh.
And it was Miller Beer was the first one I had, and I made major strides in selling them on the black market, you know. And,
wow. Now, that sounds strange to me, because I would have thought that they would have been in there. But
no, they would. They weren't spending the kind of money. They were throwing crumbs at those outlets, you know, black stations. And it wasn't any television at the time, but the black radio stations and the Hispanic stations, you know, they weren't spending any money. And then you got into the bigger thing like Kraft Foods and that type of thing, you know. That's,
well, like, you were a pioneer in a sense in terms of that part of the market, huh?
I was a pioneer. I was like the third in the marketplace.
And we're
Chicago.
Talking about in Chicago, which
yes,
is
in
the third
Chicago.
Largest radio
oh, no,
market
sure,
in the country.
I'm sure there were other blacks in New York and L.A. and
right, but Chicago's not nothing tiny.
No, it's a third. At that time, was the third marketplace in the country.
Yeah,
you had New York, L.A., and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was considered the third market, and I think Boston was the fourth market at that time. So we have all those marketplaces, because FCC said they have to do that. And a matter of fact, when CBS hired me, they hired a woman along with me. And she was a white, of course, but that was the two minorities, and she didn't last long. But I left there and went on, and so, you know, I was in the business for 40 plus years. So, yeah.
Well, let me share this with you, and then you can tell me from your perspective. When I first came to WGCI, that was late 1981, early 1982.
Yeah.
And when I came there, now Marv Dyson was the general manager at that time. Mm-hmm. But what I remember so clearly is that the majority of people who worked at WGCI Radio were white. In fact, on the FM air side, most of the people who were on the air were white.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, seems to me that most of the staff, and especially the salespeople, they were mostly white too. And in a matter of, I guess maybe 4 or 5 years, it flipped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you recall about being there in that time period?
Well, I think it was the parent company.
Gannett, yeah.
No. Gannett was Globetrotter before that, see.
Oh, okay.
Globetrotter Communications on them at earlier. And I think that's when they had a white general manager when Globetrotter was on them.
Okay.
And a white general manager, and I think when Gannett bought it from Globetrotter, they start changing that type of thing. That's when they start hiring black management, because before that it was white management, man, you know.
Okay.
I mean all the top people, you know.
Right.
So they had local sales managers and stuff, that kind of stuff, that were black, you know. But Gannett went all the way out, you know, to hire.
I just remember we were the second most profitable radio station in the whole Gannett radio chain after L.A.
Yeah, well, that's why they bought it. That's why Gannett bought it, you know, because that was a part. They were the same thing when they bought stations in D.C. and that, you know, those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know. And they're still going strong, but, you know, radio is not big now like it was in those days. You know, it's TV now.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, some of us look back on the 80s, as we call it, the second golden age of radio.
Yeah.
And we didn't realize at the time what we were doing in terms of the hugeness of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially because we were the first ones that were using the term urban contemporary music.
Yeah.
And that allowed for us to pretend like we wasn't all black.
Yeah.
But now, when you were, tell me about some of the differences in working at GCI versus the general market station. What would you say is the biggest differences?
Well, in my area, sales, getting what you could out of the budgets that the agencies have to offer for certain accounts.
Explain that to me, because you say the budget. So, in other words, the agencies bought the time for their clients?
Yes, yes. What the client gave each agency a budget or whatever account they were handling for them, you know, like I said, I keep going back to Miller Beer because at one time that was my biggest account.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, I was my biggest accounts were record companies.
Okay.
Okay, now I had no problem with record companies, okay, because they're selling black records at the time.
Right.
Okay? So that wasn't a problem. It's when you went into general market merchandise like craft and
about cars, automobiles.
Yeah, well, now that was the last. Those were the last products. Like we had a hard time getting the auto dealers, not dealers, but the companies like Ford and General Motors, and we had a hard time getting those, man.
Wow.
We got the beer companies, but it was hard getting those because they would turn their budgets over to the agencies, and agencies, you know, they had a $50,000 budget, and they would give you $1,000, you know, and then spend the rest of it in the general market.
As much as we spend on automobiles.
Well, that was the case. That was a selling point, you know, at the time. That's the only thing we could sell, which was true, you know. Especially like General Motors and companies like that. We weren't talking about Mercedes. And it was a long time before we could get luxury automobiles, man. Long time before you could get the Mercedes and those type of companies on the air. But, I probably was out of the business by the time they started getting those with regularity, you know, but it wasn't.
Well, I think it's important that we talk about this like this because there are a lot of younger people who have no idea how this all, you know, how this shook out.
Yeah.
So they've been thinking, that Mercedes and all
you
these.
See that, you know, see, you don't have radio now like it was in those days. See, everything is mushed together communication-wise, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any black radio stations left, per se?
Well, let's put it this way. In Chicago, there's only one black-owned radio station, that's WBON, and it's actually using iHeart's frequency.
Yeah.
So it's vastly different. You're right. It's totally different from when we were in the business.
Well, you see now that they probably, you know, I worked for BON, and I know it changed hands about three different times.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever owns it now. But it's got to be a super small operation now.
It is.
Yeah, you know, it's getting much like, you know, it's statewide.
Well, Herbert Spann and Wesley South still own it, but the daughter, Melody Spann, she runs it.
Yeah, I met her in my later days.
Yeah, but it's a tiny operation. With standalone AM radio stations, you know, just about defunct.
Yeah, they are. They're gone. And what's left are FMs, and because you know, technology is so far advanced now that that stuff people don't even use it anymore. You know.
Yeah, I was
because I got Sirius on my car. I got Sirius radio, and that's it.
Well, you know, we're talking about stuff that didn't exist when we were in the
80s. Right.
We were in the business. You know,
satellite
radio and all of that.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to learn how to use my phone.
I understand, trust me. Now, one of the things that I see nowadays is in terms of the business, what would you say to somebody, say a young person I was looking at, because sales is always still, you know, for those sharks, they like sales.
Now, wait, let me explain that to you now. It's technology is taking over everything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you know, we don't do sales call and take people to lunch anymore like they did in my day, okay?
Really?
All that stuff is done on. You take somebody out once a year or somewhere, give them, send them a gift or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
because it's all technology now. You do the stuff on a computer and online and stuff now. You know, you don't run around, you know, like we used to do, making calls and that kind of stuff. You don't have to.
Wow.
And that's why, and that for that reason, Harold, they've cut down on the number of people that they use or hire, okay?
Yeah.
That's what's happened now to that stuff.
I know syndication
did
that
in broadcast before. Yeah, it had started happening just before I left. They'd start doing stuff online and stuff just before I left. I think my last year in the business was like 2002 or something like that, you know, before I retired.
Okay. Well, I know for me, I was out of radio for a few years, and then I came back, and it had really gone much digital.
Yeah.
I had to learn that, and know that there are different people that I work with in the business who refused or just decided they didn't want to learn computers.
Well, I was out of it. They had just started using computers when I left. I mean, they had just started to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I didn't get a whole bunch of that stuff. Like I said, that's probably why, my grandkids got to teach me how to use the phone now, and Diane and my But no, it's a totally different ball game now. But what I'm saying, all I have to say is, the marketplaces have changed a whole bunch. So everything is done, you know, online and by computer and all that stuff. So you had a sales staff of 10, they got 3 people now. You know, because they're doing all that stuff online and that stuff. You know, you call them once in a while, you make a face call or something. You know. And so that stuff has totally changed now. So,
but what did that do to the idea of a salesperson, a person who had that ability to sell?
You don't have it anymore. You got to get into something else, like real estate or something. You know, you still do stuff. You still do the stuff and face calls, you know, with real estate or whatever. Or you still got people like in liquor sales and stuff like that that's come. But I'm talking about the electronic media.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That stuff has totally changed because television took over, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's totally changed, don't know.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when I was on the air at GCI, one of the biggest differences is that what we did on the radio, the whole family listened in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
The young people, the children, and the adults.
Yeah, that's what
and
I sold.
They set that up, and it's
you
totally
sold
different
total
now.
You sold the total programming.
Yes, yes.
You don't have that now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It does not exist.
Big loss.
No. That's why TV is taking over. It's just, you know, you got people getting up watching AM in the morning, AM TV in the morning, whatever they call those shows now.
And yeah, they
don't even
go to work watching on their phones.
Yes, yes. And, you know, once in a while, and when they get in the car and listen, it's serious radio like me. That's all I've got.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear any commercials. I don't want to hear any commercials.
No, wait a minute. You're a salesman. How are you going to say you don't want to hear no commercials?
I was a salesman. So that's what's happened. So the only time you can sell commercials now successfully is on TV.
Yeah.
You know, let's face it. That's what technology has done to us.
Do you think that it's going to come back at all to any resembles in the future?
No. Technology is too heavy for that. No, they're going to find some other way. But you know, they'll find some other way. Now, they do it now. They slide. What they're doing now is putting ads on phones and stuff, man. You can't pick up your phone without them slapping an ad in on you, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, what was it? This year, I think they said that this past Christmas season, they said for the first time, online sales was higher than brick-and-mortar sales.
Of course, it's still going on. That's why malls are going out of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are not going to stores and malls, man. They just had a big thing about Macy's and going to how many stores are going out and all those, that kind of stuff, man. Matter of fact, we just ordered, Diane just ordered some stuff online now, man. You know, we don't go to the mall.
Well, I see people tease me because I do most of my buying online now. And
yes.
I get all my bills online.
Hey, man, that saves you some gas.
Yep.
Wear and tear.
Yeah.
And patience.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one serious question about, you know, the political atmosphere we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what your thoughts are about where you see this country going. You know, I'm not going to mention no names. No names, no tramps or nothing, but... What do you see?
As a black citizen or as a citizen or as a...
Well, as a black man. Let's do it that way.
Oh, okay.
Black man in the world.
I don't know. We've come a ways, but not as far as I want us to come. We've come a ways because I came up in the day of King, you know, and that kind of stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
So to me, that was all progress, but I still don't think we're as far as we should be. And we keep getting roadblocks like we have now, and
mm-hmm.
now we're going to have to jump over this roadblock and get started again. But I think people have found out, when I say people, I'm talking about us as minorities, have found the value in voting, okay?
Okay.
Get off your butt and go and vote, okay?
Whether
they're trying to cheat you out of it or not, you still got to try it, okay?
That should tell us something. They spend so much time and effort trying to keep us from voting, it should tell us it has a value, right?
Yeah, when we were in North Carolina, they did a lot of that shit, trying to block off areas that had heavy black voting and that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. And that stuff is still going on in various places, and we got to be aware of that and bring it to light, and especially around election time, you know.
Yeah.
I think that right now that's the value, that's the thing. We've learned that. I think it started with Obama's first term.
Yeah.
How valuable voting is. And we got to get off our butts and go to the polls. That's it.
Well, now, one more minute mm-hmm. To share with me this. Since you worked in what we call general market, and you worked in the black market, you worked in the Hispanic market,
mm-hmm.
what would you say were the keys that allowed you to do so well in all of those markets?
Our experience. And each time, those people were looking for experience.
Okay.
And because experience, you know what you're doing. You know you have the contacts and that type of stuff, which helps. But you got to have the experience of that first experience, and that's what happens when they're trying to keep people out of certain areas and certain jobs. They can keep you out, like stock market people. They keep you out because you don't have any experience, and that's their excuse.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, I teach radio and I teach students live on the air.
Yeah.
And one of the things I try to get them to understand is the value of interning.
Yeah.
Because that's one way to get experience.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ken Stancil, I really appreciate you taking the time. And hopefully we might have to do this again in the future as things change and I get your perspective on things, because I think it's valuable.
Anytime, Rush Hour.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, talk to you later, bro.
Peace.
Peace.